Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Working Title. I'm Ryan Fring with The BitLife Show. Today we have David Geisler of the Technophiles Podcast Network. David and I actually grew up together. He's a little bit of the reason we're here today. Also, this show right now, Working Title, we did kind of a rendition of it with David a year ago, maybe, as a variety show. And now we're doing this show. They're doing some shows on the Technophiles Podcast Network that are similar to that. He does singing reviews and various kind of vaudevillian things that are really fun that eventually we maybe want to do here. So let's do it. Burrito. Yeah, now. Welcome. So here we have David Geisler, everyone.
Hey.
Yay. Thank
you. We don't clap, but
you
now we
the
do.
First guest
now
that gets a clap.
I'm for it. Yeah, I'll take it.
So don't give that to anyone else.
I'll take it.
Because it's special just for you.
I'll take it. It's good to see you guys again.
So, yeah. Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah.
That's where we start. Not who's your daddy.
Oh.
And what does he do?
Because that'd be weird.
Yeah, we have a history.
I think that's what I want to know.
We know each other,
so
yeah.
So can you, because explain... Sure. How you guys all know each other.
We could go a month ago when I met you guys. Well, I knew you actually from before that, but Ryan and I go all the way back to high school.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Okay.
I think...
Done. Story's over.
Yeah.
Good well, night. That was a great show.
Yes.
Another round of applause.
Excellent. Well done.
I'm going to go get some pizza.
So both of you went to school with T.C. DeWitt.
Yes. So now,
were you all in the same grade?
I think the way the age broke down, I think T.C. was about a year, maybe two younger than me.
Yes.
And then you were a year or two younger than him, I think. Because I think you and I are 4 apart.
Okay.
Which means we were never technically in high school together. Mm-hmm. But because we did so much theater together, I think it's fair to say we're basically in high school together.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, and then TC was in the middle of that. I was actually in a couple plays with TC, acting-wise, but I think we never quite acted together.
No, I didn't get involved until my junior or senior year.
That's how it was.
But it was because I saw David Geisler.
Seriously?
In Godspell, yeah.
Yes,
your
wow.
Crazy, like, wow, you know, kind of performance. It was awesome. You know, the comedic
I think that was 1998, guys.
Yeah.
I think that was in 1998.
Some people listening probably weren't even born.
That's really sad.
Except for our moms. 98 was sad?
98 was... Well, no.
I thought it was a good year.
I was there.
I was encouraged, yeah.
But it was the idea that there might be people who are listening who have never...
I was at a bar the other night and I was talking to this very cute girl at the bar and I was kind of doing, you know, as you start to maybe pick someone up or something. And I was talking to her and we were talking about... she was clearly a bit younger than me, but I didn't think it was as far as, I can't believe we're starting the show with this.
Oh my gosh, yes.
This is great.
This is kind of worth it.
Give me the good stuff.
We were talking about Jurassic Park because we were talking a little bit about Jurassic Park 4 and all that kind of stuff.
I already know where this is
and,
going.
And I learned that she was born in 1993. So I think she was like 21 or 22.
That makes her hotter, right?
So that's significantly younger than me. So we kind of cut it off there. However,
is that your starting point?
It occurred to me that I was taking girls out on dates when she was born to Jurassic Park. When she was born. I have been dating for the entire length of her life.
Oh my gosh!
So from now on, this is how you start your conversations. Were you born when Jurassic Park was originally theaters?
Right. Are you before JP or what is
well,
it?
Well, yeah,
BFJP or
yes, we're gonna do the Star Wars.
You have to name 3 movies from '94.
Right.
In order to date, yeah, because that was one of the last significant. We were talking with TC, you know, one of the last significant years. Where there was like, you know, just tons of movies, tons of major franchises. I think this next year is, again, one of those years. Well, and that was the start of franchises, but this is, you know, another year with like 55 major franchises or something like that coming out. 2015.
I do love that two of our biggest things that are coming out, obviously Star Wars 7 and Jurassic Park 4. I love Star Wars 7, we can imagine, is going to be in canon, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really happy that they're keeping the Jurassic Park 4. It's half reboot, half... canon continuation.
Yeah.
I really think they're doing a great job with that.
So why have we not learned our lesson? I feel like this is the same movie the third time. You know, because the first one, like, we're genetically engineering these to not breed. They bred. And then again, genetically engineering. And then again and again. And now they're like, well, we genetically engineered them so it could fly and, like,
talk human on the telephone. And
hey,
like,
there was
know,
a version of Jurassic Park 4 that actually had human dinosaur hybrids
yes,
from a couple
it did
years
really.
Ago.
Really?
That got nixed by Spielberg.
That's too bad.
I'm not going to say
that
would have
been unique at least.
Well, it was a pretty rough script. Like a guy gets lost on an island and then he gets, well, whatever.
No, I saw that. That was 2, right?
Yeah. No, that was 3. You're thinking of 2, 3.
No, that was literally, there was like a mad, there was a mad scientist lab underground, all of that in that version.
And his name was Dr. Monroe.
So I won't speak about the, I won't speak about the variety of the Jurassic Park movies, but I am very pleased. I think it's very clever of them to essentially reboot the franchise with all, obviously an all new cast, but still kind of keep it, because we're picking up 20 years later,
right.
Which is kind of neat. I think that is kind of cool.
It's one of those where it's like, I feel like because of the success of Star Trek, with the 2009 yeah, right? The whole like, it technically was partially, reboot. it was a partial reboot. Yeah. Partial continue because it still continues the storyline,
just a different dimension,
but it allows them to do whatever they want. And I almost feel like that because that was so successful, the new Terminator films doing that, like it's I feel like the studios are now like, okay, well we can continue this franchise, but we can.
Terminator 6 is on the way, right? Or Terminator 5?
Genesis.
With Schwarzenegger again.
Yeah. I'm kind of a closeted Terminator fan.
Like, oh, Terminator.
You know, you don't whip that out too often, but like, I'm in
that.
Love with it.
So I remember I had parts.
The first film is so good.
The first film is so good.
It's so low budget and still so suspenseful.
And then the second one is just like, oh, look amazing. What we can do when we have a budget.
Right.
The second one was the one that they monetized too, stunts. So I had all the crap from that, like trading cards and action figures, and I remember sitting down after school and playing with them.
I was fine with 3. I was even fine with 4. I even watched the Sarah Chronicle Connors.
Sarah Chronicle Connors.
You know, it's not just me. I'm just saying this right now.
Tongue twist.
Words do not work.
Interesting, it's about Schwarzenegger, though.
It is all $150 million.
But that was an interesting show because it was pretty entertaining to see, you know, them trying to survive with this secret, you know, that the future and the Terminators.
It's essentially, it was between Terminator 2 and 3, basically.
Right,
obviously.
Right. And all then, I could think of was, who's the main actress?
Laura Henney,
I
think.
You are a very pretty lady.
I don't know.
I think it
just
might be.
Constantly, like, very pretty lady.
That's all I can think
about.
Well,
she was in 300, and then she was in that Dread remake and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that was
did anybody, did you
she's
that?
In Game of Thrones, too, I think.
Yes,
actually,
she is.
Yeah. I think it's Laura Henney, but I could be wrong. That might actually be that blonde girl from
Lena
Love, actually.
Hedy.
There it is. Lena Hedy.
So close.
There's some letters.
It should be like a rule in Hollywood. Yeah. You can't have a name that's similar to somebody else.
So Ryan and I were in high school together.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't go to the same college. Did you go to the same college with TC, or what did you do?
No.
I shouldn't assume you went to college. Maybe you didn't.
I went to Bradford High School down in Kenosha, you could say, with Ryan and TC. Then I moved to Chicago and went to Columbia College in Chicago for film, where I majored in producing. And
oh, did you? I didn't know you majored in
that's
producing.
That's actually...
I assumed creative, like, you know.
No, believe it or not, I kind of... like everybody was going
editing
for...
Or?
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of editing now, but everybody was going for the director thing, and I feel like and there's a lot of talented people out there, but I'm going to make a joke for a second. I feel like the people who go for directing in film school are like the people that choose business in normal school. It's like, okay, you know, you couldn't think of anything else.
You're
like,
going to be a director.
I want to make movies. I'm going to be a director. And there's so many more interesting facets of making a film.
Not to discourage anyone who wants to be a director.
But if there is anybody listening to this that's about to go into film school, seriously consider the other aspects of making
Learn
a film.
Learn everything else.
Because
you
might find that you actually like one of those, and they're just as important. So I majored in producing and went to Columbia and lived there, and then I got really lucky and got a job at the Oprah Show.
Okay, that's coming back to me. When I first met you, I'm like, you were the one that worked on Oprah.
I'm totally going to brag, but I got hired at the Oprah Show when I was 19 years old,
that's
and
fantastic.
I felt very special
brag
about
that. Yeah.
And I worked there as a logger and some editing and stuff, and then
get free stuff?
What's that?
Did you get free stuff? Like
no.
All the
did you randomly find free stuff?
I went to the editor's chair, and he'll find another stack of work.
Yay!
All right. Footage.
Here's
he'll buy a
six
car
more,
someday.
Here's 6 more hours of footage to log.
You get 6 more hours, and you get 6 more hours, and you get 6 more hours.
No, it was actually really cool to work there, and I think around the time I was at Harpo is probably when maybe you were then going to film school and such, mm-hmm. A couple years later. Mm-hmm. I worked there till I was about 24. And then I don't know, I kind of got inspired there, actually. It was a really cool company to work for, it really was. But I think I got almost too built up with the good energy there. I'm not making fun of that place at all. It was really great working there. And then I started an art gallery and ran that for a couple years, and now I'm...
When did we have, what was it? The production company that did a few things.
So for two hot minutes, there was a production company that... this is actually kind of important. Yeah. So coming out of Harpo Studios, for a split second, I mean, I think I was so moved by working there that I thought to myself, I'm gonna make a production company. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And like any entrepreneur, like, I think I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. But I was 23. Yeah. Like, I didn't know what I was doing at all. I was, I mean, half my friends were still in school. Mm-hmm. And I was just thought I was going to, like, make this amazing thing. And this is obviously before high-speed internet. This is way before, like, this is before iTunes. This is mm-hmm. way before YouTube. The only way that you could get your creative voice out there at all was to make a lot of shoot industrial videos or wedding videos or who knows what. And Ryan, we can come back to that. Try to save up some money to make a film, try to get it into a festival, and then try to get people to mention that. This is like a 5-year plan here.
All with DVDs.
Where now, here we are, you know, 2014, where that's a weekend.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Right?
So back then I was, you know, 23, didn't really know what I was doing yet, and the technology wasn't quite there yet. So we did it for about 2 years, and that's, mm-hmm. Ryan came along because you were coming out of school then, and...
Yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but, you know, maybe it was like it was
about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago. So we did that for 2 years, and I kind of took that, and wasn't working out, obviously, you know what I mean? There wasn't any... We really didn't want to keep... We were proud of the weddings and all those things we shot, but that's not really the direction I wanted to go. So then I kind of changed gears and did an art gallery for a while. Did that for about 4 years. And then around that time, I moved to Milwaukee, and then I worked for SC Johnson for about 3 years. I feel like we're on a first date right now, guys. I did SC Johnson for 3 or 4 years.
You've seen Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
Have you or have you not?
Jurassic
Park? Yes,
what?
I have seen it.
And so then about 4 years ago, I started the Technophiles Podcast Network, which I hope we can talk a little bit about
today. Yeah, has it been that long already?
Yeah, well, you know, really, honestly, I actually started podcasting about 8 or 9 years ago. Pardon me.
Oh, well, with the art gallery. That's right.
That's where it all got started.
And live music.
That was back before, like, that was back before iTunes had podcasts, obviously before Stitcher existed. You'd have to download something called, like, Lemon Jelly or Lemon Z or something like that. And you'd put it on your iPod 2, and it'd just go in as, like, an album song. There was, I mean, we were making shows back then. We were.
What'd you call it? Before podcasts, we had listen to our talkies.
They were just like, I remember like Attack of the Show. Maybe it was before I think it was before Attack of the Show existed, but whatever that version was, it was the blonde girl, Sarah, like the blonde girl, and then the guy that was on Attack of the Show.
Well, 2003-ish.
Kevin Peralta? Kevin and the blonde girl, Sarah something.
Kevin Pereira.
Pereira, there it is.
Peralta. Who's Peralta? Jake Peralta.
Hey, that's
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You guys are just naming names.
So good. I really enjoy that show right now. It's about the only show on TV I actually like right now, I got
to
say.
Andy Samberg's great, you know, from that crazy, silly comedian to... funny, pretty normal guy.
So we started podcasting for the gallery, and what we were doing is we would have a show every week where we would talk about the upcoming shows, maybe talk a little bit about the artists came in, and it ended up kind of accidentally becoming almost recorded boardroom meetings, but like in a good way, because it was four of us running the gallery.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of oddly documentary style. Yeah,
inside the art studio.
So we'd have a 20-minute conversation about, it would just naturally occur, of like, we've got this artist coming in, what are we gonna do with this? We're excited about this. Well, we gotta make sure we do that.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of, should we sell tickets for this much or
that's
not?
That's just
or this
nerdy art stuff, you know?
It was good. We were 14th most popular podcast on iTunes back then. There were only about 100 podcasts back then.
Still,
but we were like, cool. It was cool to be like right on that homepage. This is like almost 8 years ago. This is a long time ago. So then we did a couple more podcasts, and then I moved to Milwaukee. And when I closed the gallery, I moved to Milwaukee, and I kind of still wanted to do a podcast, but I couldn't figure out. I was going to try to maybe do an art one in Milwaukee, but I'd been moving like from Chicago kind of mm-hmm. through Racine. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very familiar with Milwaukee yet. I certainly wasn't familiar with the art scene. I tried to do an art podcast. It lasted about 4 episodes. And then I thought to myself, well, I got to do something here where there's something that happens every week. And so it was actually Alex Sheehan, who mm-hmm. you went to high school with and is my cousin.
Yes.
We all did theater together. Alex Sheehan had a podcast called 8-Bit Dairyland, and he was recording it out of New York with Mark Rikers, who lives here in Madison.
Do they still have that?
Mark Rikers. They did it for about a season or two, and I think it was just a little hard to get the schedules going.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll have one of them guest on one of our shows. We'll Skype them in, but I think it's a little tough.
Sure.
Now that I have a production company, maybe I'll let him make a show under that one.
Oh, yeah.
The Technophiles Podcast Network, but we can talk about that a little bit more later. Now, the history of David Geiser, I think we've talked about enough.
Well, you just talked about something.
Well, you know, I will wrap it up.
To the present.
In Milwaukee.
You'll wrap it, and then I'll unwrap it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just pass it back and forth. So then I did start, Alex Sheehan and I were talking, and we were like, well, let's just do a technology podcast then. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million of them out there, but at least stuff happens in technology news every week, and we can discuss it. And what happened is it kind of turned into not so much, it wasn't a podcast about like, well, the Z84 chip is coming out, and how do we feel about that? It was a little bit more like, this company made virtual reality in Poland, and what is that going to do for shopping malls? Or like this company, we just specifically actually just about just before our break, we're on a break right now, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure. We interviewed a gal named Judith Joan Walker from the company African Clean Energy, and they made this little campfire thing called the Ace One. It has super clean emissions, and they're selling like crazy. So we focus more. We try to focus more on up-and-coming inventions, up-and-coming technologies. Some of it's a little pie in the sky. Sometimes it's like so-and-so proposes that we build a floating city, and we'll talk
about it. Anything with virtual reality.
Anything with virtual reality. Amazon pops up a lot. Oculus Rift pops up a lot these days. Mm-hmm. Apple a little bit, but now what has happened is, so it was just like 2-3 people around a mic for many years, and then a year ago, I apparently got mixed with the right people in Milwaukee because it has exploded.
Yeah,
and now
yeah,
we have
I've
four
seen
different
now
shows.
You have
all
a lot
that.
Of video now. Components.
We have a lot of cool stuff, but if you don't mind, maybe we'll talk about that in the second half. That's kind of okay. I guess that's
after the break.
You know, Jeff,
I'm adding a break.
That's just me.
That's just you.
I mean.
All right.
He's telling me how to do the job,
time.
Isn't he?
I think now's a good time to start the podcast.
Now's a good time for me to leave.
No, and hit record.
I haven't seen you guys in a month because we did that film, which was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so how'd you get involved with all these guys? More stories.
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, please do.
Okay,
I've been talking enough.
So last summer, Firmament Films decided to do the Milwaukee 48-hour film festival, because you know, we just don't do enough 48-hour film festivals, and everyone's really crazy about it. So, but the team had kind of split up. So Chris Mayer talked last week about.
Yeah, I understand there was like a logistical
So John Klein asked Chris Mayer to produce his, and they were going to go to St. Louis.
Right.
But then there was this all the talent left over, and really had it in their minds to do a all-female cast. So they asked me if I want to produce, and I say, of course I'll produce, until it came to it's Father's Day weekend. We cannot find an editor at all. Mm-hmm. Like, anywhere, everybody is either editing, like, is a father or is going to see their father. And, like, I think it was 2 weeks before, all of a sudden, TC on Facebook's like, David Geisler!
And I was like, last minute.
Yes! He's the one! And then you did it, and I was like, thank goodness.
TC and I have a lot of love for each other. I think he was on a previous episode of this show. I think he was
That's right here. That's
yes,
right.
He
yeah,
was.
It should be previous. I think you know Jeff just wants to move it all around.
I wish
yeah.
I had a really good TC impression. That's right. I wish I could just kind of be TC. But
well,
I
you just wear the hat, the TC hat.
Yeah,
hat.
Yeah, that's true.
We
that's
actually
true.
Have that here.
It's yeah,
on
it's
puppet.
In the other room.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. But is it puppet size?
I don't know.
So TC for years, Julie, TC and I kind of wanted to continue to work together.
Okay.
And I don't know. We have a very intense, passionate, romantic. Romance going on, I think.
Oh. Yeah, it was fantastic, and you guys were awesome on that on the Unpossessors.
Oh yeah, so he reached out to me kind of out of the blue.
Out of the blue,
that's what it
reached
was.
Out and was like, "Do you want to edit this 48?" Mm-hmm. And you said yes.
And unbeknownst to him, I was trying to get involved with the 48s for a couple years anyway.
That's right. He told me that. He's like, yeah, he's been wanting to do this for a couple of years, so this
many
is really
years,
exciting.
Yeah.
I
want to
throw out there, too, that I recommended David, because they're like, we're in Milwaukee, and we need that. And I was like,
oh, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
You know, a year or two ago, we kind of did a version of this that was a little more entertaining and live, which I still want to get to.
Let's talk about that, because it happened like right here.
That's right.
We kind of spitballed a version of a show. And,
okay.
But anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, from that experience, I was like, you know, David's in Milwaukee, and he could probably edit. Give him a call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this information was never given to me because then later, John's like, oh, yeah, David's great. Oh, because I Facebook stalked you and
got
found
it.
Out you were friends with Ryan and John. I'm like, guys, I've been needing an editor.
Who is this guy?
You've never mentioned this to me. You're holding out. Yeah.
And I was really excited. Yeah. I came in. I was very nervous because I just was like, I haven't edited.
There's a whole bunch of new people.
Yeah, they're pretty intense.
Well, I hadn't edited a narrative in a number of years. I'd been doing a lot of this other kind of stuff, some of this newsy kind of stuff from where you're doing, well, frankly, just not, you know, fictional narratives. And I was very nervous, but I met you pretty much right off the bat.
Away.
And
yep.
I was kind of like, all right, we're in good hands here. Because you produced
Thank
that
you.
One, I think, right?
And I was nervous because it was my first time producing.
Yeah,
so.
But it was a blast.
It was. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really great time. And I know TC and you were like you were saying, like, I'd be getting really tired, but then TC would have energy. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, I think I'm going to do this. And TC would, like, complete the sentence. Like the editing process with the two of you was really
And I hadn't seen TC for years and years and years. Ryan, I had seen you a few years before that from the project here.
Right.
But I'd been 3-4 years, I think, to actually seen TC. And I know that I know you guys were probably talking to him about Princess Knight and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I, about a year ago, emailed him and said, I love the Wolf songs. Let me audition for the Wolf. And he said, yeah, record something, send it to me. But then I literally got cast in another play. And then I It just never lined up. But I like was you, desperately
trying to. Were you auditioning for the musical?
For the film.
For the voice,
which I think you guys are shooting, right?
Yeah.
Which would have been a lot of fun. But he said, yeah, okay, whatever. So that was really fun. That was like the most interaction I had with him. I thought, oh, I'll be able to finally work with TC
again. Did you ever see him on Better Off Ted?
TC on Better Off Ted?
As the Catman? Yeah, are you familiar with the TV show?
I've never actually seen it, but I do know
it exists. Great little comedy that was around for a season, and I was watching it one day, and I mean, that's kind of what started me connecting back with TC.
That's awesome.
But anyway, you know, saw it, and all of a sudden TC's in the background loving cats and has cat pictures, and I'm like, TC, what is this? So check that out.
There's a few other people that we'll know always from high school that have popped up on shows here and there, but anyway, we can get into it later.
Oh, really? Like who?
I don't want to get into
Dish it.
Like exes and things like that. We don't have to talk about it. Let's get going.
This show just got
relationship show.
Really interesting.
TC, I can help with that.
There's Jerry Springer coming in.
Princess Knight, and then I'm just trying to bring it back.
But how was that experience for you to edit that?
So I loved it. So that was the thing too. So what I was trying to get at is even when I like gave TC a hug, pardon me, when he showed up at the house, I hadn't seen him for years, so we had to kind of revive a little bit, and it took only a couple minutes. Yeah. Maybe it took a couple hours, but like to truly. But then by the next, it was a 48, so by the time we got on that final day, he and I were just
in
the same DNA. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Because a little bit like how you and I can work off each other,
yeah.
he and I can kind of tap in, and I thought all three of us
I get that with him too.
Humor.
Yeah.
We have similar humor, but.
John and I always talk about that because like John and I have very different humor. Mm-hmm. And so at some point we're just like, all right, your idea. You tell me what to do.
John's hysterical. It's fun to watch you and John bounce off each other, though.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. we try.
I'm serious.
But I like, you know, when you came in and then when I work with TC, just how easy it is. And, you know, even Jeff some, too. Like, I feel like, you know, we kind of have the same, you know, ridiculous mental vibe kind of going.
I feel like it's easy to jump on.
Yeah, TC and I can bounce off each other really well, too. Yeah. But I feel like in a different space than like probably like what you guys can do and like what you can do with TC and what you can do with TC.
Oh,
I feel it's like it's all a little different.
We gotta find some of that footage because that was great.
What?
You know, even when it didn't work out, the original BitLife stuff.
We still have some of that.
Yes.
We still have like the weird calf pilot on Vimeo right now. It's like locked on Vimeo.
Oh,
no joke.
We?
It's still around.
I'm gonna pull that up.
We have to do a password stuff to get into it. But
it was
maybe
cool.
We'll,
it was cool because we created the version of our news that was like talking in front of a green screen.
Right.
And then I saw maybe a year ago or when you guys started doing
that,
I was like, yes,
the Tech Files newscast.
That's what I want to do.
So
good on you guys.
it was almost 2 or 3 years ago. I wanted to say one thing real quick. I do want to say something about you and TC. Both of you, I feel like if you get stuck on stage and one of you forgets your lines, I would feel like I would feel totally safe with TC. And we could probably make up a whole new scene. I feel the same way with you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So we got to the editing at the end, we were almost acting through the, you know, we were riffing on the editing, and it was a lot of fun, and it was great. Yeah. And then that led to doing that other film here just a few months ago.
Yes, which was awesome to bring you on board, because I produced that. High Neighbor. High Neighbor.
Oh, there may or may not be a clip from the movie playing currently.
Right now.
So,
it's
going
to be featuring
him.
It's me fixing the ATM
It will be totally
good.
Him.
Good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
And David, you were wonderful.
It was a lot of fun.
You were wonderful on that.
It was a lot
Your
of fun.
Your scenes were so good.
And
Yeah,
I know it was a lot of fun, and I got to.
That's when I met you. I have heard of you.
You better
the
famed
have.
Dave
yes.
guy.
Because
you better have.
Right. Of hanging around with all of these guys.
I'm joking.
The names come up in the last year or so, numerous times. So it's definitely one of those where it's like, because I didn't care who was cast in the film. It wasn't my role. I just one of the writers is all that mattered. So you know, it's like I don't care whatever TC, whatever, you know, whoever you guys are thinking of, that's great. And yeah, then I watched it and I'm like, oh yeah, well crap, I kind of wish we wrote more. Because it's like, that scene would have been really good if there was more.
Fun.
So we're creating a spin-off TV pilot.
I'm for it.
For the the
TV
ATM.
Pilot? It could be its own YouTube series.
It could be.
Screw it, let's just do it on, oh my God,
on Vine?
My age. On Vine, I was going to say. You know what I was going to say? I was going to be like, let's do it on that that 7 second one.
Yeah, that 7. That's 7.
That's
program.
The new one, right?
What is that new one the kids are using?
Yeah.
So I had been doing the Technophiles podcast for about a year in Milwaukee. And when I moved to Milwaukee, it was kind of abrupt in my life. It wasn't a planned thing. It took me a little while to even get used to Milwaukee, quite frankly. I like it there quite a bit now. But those first couple years I was there, it was like not the vibe that I had in my person.
Was it very different from Chicago when you were down there?
Incredibly different. Those two cities are like, I don't know if they're polar opposites, but they are just completely different. Neither better or worse, just... You have to completely recalibrate for each city, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
To genuinely live and then genuinely live. You know what I mean? So I was down in Milwaukee making the podcast, and it was just me and another guy, and I was kind of getting hungry to make like another show. And I think I just tweeted something out like, anybody out there that just kind of wants to do something? I had a very nice cast member on the show at the time, a co-host, but he was, as nice as he was kind of along for the ride. He wasn't necessarily like a creator, and I was really hungry to work with creators. And then to my surprise, Ryan replied to that tweet. So we hung out for a couple months and tried to make a show. And
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was
but
great.
I think we had very lofty goals. It was going to be like a monthly, hour-long thing.
And we talked about it with Attack of the Show. We're like, this is an entertaining thing. Like tech, variety, geeky stuff. And, you know, it's kind of all the things that we like. And, I mean, why wouldn't you put what you like into your show? And that's what we did. Right. And, you know, as a hobby or part-time or, you know, very small-time thing, it was just not going to... I mean, it took forever for us to get...
We would have needed to put together a business plan.
Yeah.
it was like we were making a damn show. But some really nice things came out of that.
Yeah, right.
I actually... You know how we did... So one of the things we toyed with, we were trying to kind of take some of the theatrical stuff, some of the improv stuff, and mix it with the tech. So one of the things we toyed around with was trying to do those improv video game reviews. Do you remember that?
we would
seriously not make it up ahead of time.
Yeah.
I would just pick some chords and we'd play and we'd sing about, like, I don't know, we just did a fake one about Mario Brothers or something.
Yeah, and there
like
was
that.
One with The Last of Us, and I think
I
got something wrong, like either something in the name or something, and I kept going with it and you kept trying to correct me with it.
In the background.
And that's great.
Like in the harmony.
Yeah.
And it was great.
So you don't get that if you plan it.
But we ended up taking that element, and that's part of Technophiles now. So for
you
the last,
dirty bastard.
Well, it's so much fun. We call
this
them,
video
we call
will
them
hold up in court.
The silly songs. We call them silly. Well, we made it together.
Damn,
but now what we do on
Ryan,
the podcast.
That's why we brought him here. You know,
that's right.
Evidence
that's
for
right.
court.
Come on, Judge Mathis.
So we do like Judge so on the show Mathis. Now. We have a topic, and then we take a break, and we have a second topic. And during the break now, we do a genuine improv silly song about the first topic. So our listeners can just take a little break. And I make it up. I've been doing it for years now. I've actually did the math. I started on episode 90 and we're in episode 229 right now. So I've done hundreds of these silly songs now, Ryan, since you and I kind of made up the idea years ago. And now they became so popular that we put them on YouTube. So now I'll record them with the webcam as I do them.
Oh, really?
Because see, what happens is if you sing a silly song about, like, we've had companies like Google and DinoPet, like, catch these silly songs and then retweet us and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, it is the coolest thing in the world to have. Like, are you familiar with Project Ara? I think it's called Phone.
Yeah,
it was called Phone Blocks.
Phones. Yeah,
the phone
that
clicks together. We did a couple Project Ara episodes, and I did a song about Project Ara based off of Katy Perry's Dark Horse or something. Like, so I'll pick chords ahead of time and then just make up the words so you don't have to think about both things at once. And he listened to it and tweeted us, and there's a Verge video out there of them listening to our song in their studio because he was sharing it with them. And it was like, it's amazing to get a tweet from someone who works at Google to be like, that was awesome.
From who you're talking about.
And this has happened with a number of companies now. So this is like so unexpected. It was never part of the plan of this podcast. I mean, we still have our actual meat and potatoes there, but this little thing in the middle.
Yeah, who'd have thought it?
We have
who'd have thunk?
Now we have best of albums on Bandcamp of these silly songs. like I said, DinoPet Scout Transatlantic has retweeted us and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. It's this weird little hybrid thing that came off, and it was all because of us goofing around.
Yeah,
right where this table is.
You know, and
three years ago,
there's probably two or three guitars, maybe some drums.
We have a trombone. There's a keyboard.
You know,
keyboard.
I don't know. No pressure. Or
we could have the weirdest ska band ever if we all just got instruments out too.
Without any brass.
Without any brass.
So the weirdest ska band.
Exactly.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that was a 90s thing.
Ska.
Yeah. You have like striped suspenders.
And then you get dress pants and you rip them at the knees.
Yeah. And you just kick when you dance a lot, I think is.
Is that classified as dancing or more just like shaking?
It's skanking.
It's skanking.
That's right.
I got to get it right.
Did we realize how dumb that was?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Skanking. I'm skanking. I'm flooding.
I won a skanking dance-off contest once.
Somebody
in junior high.
Did you?
Oh, yes, I did. Skanked all night long.
Like, yeah, he's skanking hard.
Look at
how hard he's skanking.
I feel
Take my sunglasses.
I feel so incredibly awkward right now.
Whoever invented
I'm warming
that
up.
Is
take my checkered
laughing
coat.
To the bank.
I'm sorry.
Like, not taking
pairs
the hat
of
off.
Suspenders. Whoa.
Hat's mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One to hold up and the one to hang down.
Yeah.
With so your little chain wallet.
I want to do that. I want to do that show still. Like, you know, because it's entertaining.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it stopped. Oh. Here we go.
Who's that?
This is what happens when you don't turn off your phone, but that's okay. Because this is a good,
super good little break here at Backflip.
This is a good little break. Hey, what's
what we deal with?
What's
every
this
day.
Show called? Do we know what this show's called?
Working Title.
Working Title. Very good.
There you go.
It's clever.
All day. This is
clever.
What I have to deal with.
It's a condition. I came up with sure. We should self-medicate, probably.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Quaaludes?
Not.
Anyone? Anyone Quaaludes. For Quaaludes?
Okay, they all just saw Wolf of Wall Street this weekend.
It just hit Netflix, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Oh, did it?
Yes, it's on Netflix. So you can watch it again.
Yeah. I saw Ryan's face go like, I paid for it.
I spent a whole $1.50 from the Red Box.
It's
no,
on
it's
Netflix.
Probably 32 cents because I get all those, you know, deals. Yeah.
Such a good
the
movie.
Pre-order deal or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not seen it yet. I do like Martin Scorsese.
It's good. Film.
You're gonna learn a lot Scorsese. About Quaaludes.
Oh man, it's a 3-hour film.
As I explained earlier today, because I saw it in theaters, because it's 3 hours. I basically walked out of that theater feeling like I had done drugs the entire time because it's so crazy and there's so
it's
much
so
going
intense,
on
yeah.
and it's so intense yeah. that I walked out and we were discussing like people complaining about like, oh, it's glorifying drug use. And I'm
right.
like, no, if anything, that movie teaches you never to do
Don't
drugs
right.
ever. Because
right.
that movie just shows you how much it can royally mess up your
yeah.
life. And I'm like, no, if there's any reason for me not to do drugs ever, it's that film right there. Because that it's a good film.
But it's so good. Scorsese.
So about a year ago, Technophiles was still just two guys sitting around a mic, and it had been that for about 3 years. You know what I mean? I mean, two guys, three guys, girls, you know, a couple people sitting around a microphone and just talking. And like I said, I met a few really talented people. I met someone named Sean Kerr and Tina Urch, who I had known for a couple years. They came in and they were definitely like creative, want to build kinds of people. And so, Ryan, I was kind of coming off of the kind of the fun we had here, still hungry to make something for video. And just kind of out of nowhere, Sean said to me, he was like, I really want to make like a video series. And I was like, stop. I want to make a video series. Yeah. So then that's when we birthed the newscast and we started that thing rolling.
Oh, okay.
The Technophiles newscast. Mm-hmm. Playfully, it's all Technophiles newscast, Technophiles podcast, Technophiles gamescast are the names of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months later, someone said we should make a video game cast. So, okay, then we got cast people out of that. Then Tina came to me and she said, I'd really like it if we find that written content, believe it or not, does really well on our website. So we, especially with this new website.
You're talking like blogs and
well, yeah,
articles
but like actual or, articles written now. We'll do interviews with companies and stuff. Written content does very, very well in addition to the audio and video content that we produce. The written content, though, I didn't have anybody to really be an editor for that. Or, you know, producer in the television world, but it's editing in the written world. And Tina totally took it up. Tina Urch. And she has like 5 or 6 different writers. We have something post every single week now. And so what I'm trying to say is we're 3 different shows and we're this, we call it Tech Notes, is the written stuff. We've expanded like 15, 16 people in 1 year, kind of on accident. And I'm
That's
so
awesome.
Excited about this.
Good job.
I'm so excited about this.
That's great.
And so a year ago, we were recording on a desk in my apartment. It was just in the corner of my apartment. So for the past year, all of a sudden now we're doing all of our Let's Plays are like, we're in my living room. All of our Twitch stuff is like from, you know.
Which
like,
was probably awesome. You just, you know, roll out of bed and you're like, oh, hey guys, let's go ahead and do our thing.
So I lived in a studio loft downtown. So there was no walls. There was plenty of space, which was really good for productions. You could just push things out of the way and set the cameras up. And all of a sudden we're shooting in my living room, right? And then we had a green screen set up in another corner of my apartment. And basically, literally 50% of my apartment, maybe a little bit more, was essentially becoming what we started to call TPN, Technophiles Podcast Network. See, it's all kind of happening on accident.
Yeah,
Technophiles. And we were thinking, Sean and Tina and I, we knew that we were going to do this website reboot in January because if you go to our website right now, it's just kind of barfing blog posts at you. It really is. It's just whatever the new thing is. It's not clear. It's just the games cast. It's the podcast. You know, you can just scroll and whatever.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to recreate the website more of like an actual news website now where obviously there's clicks, there's things that go to all the different shows that we produce. Maybe there's obviously the recents and all these different little widgets and things, but then we can also have all of our articles get actual front page stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go there, you can go to the games cast or something like that.
Sure.
Because right now the games cast, it's so weird when he does the end credits, he's like, this is the Technophiles Gamecast. You can find us at technophilespodcast.com or go to Facebook on Technophiles Podcast.
Right.
Like, you know, we're just organizing.
Yeah.
Now that all this has happened, we're just organizing.
Do you have the domain? Can we
so
say it?
Technophilespodcast.com is the only domain we have right now.
Technophiles I'm thinking, Network.
So I'm thinking TPN.com if we can get it.
TPN?
Otherwise, it might have to be Technophiles Podcast Network. We'll still keep technophilespodcast.com because at the core, that was like the original show.
Yeah.
But the thing that I just want to finish this up with is moving to the new studio. So Sean and Tina and I were kind of the producers. This Nate is becoming a producer as well now because he's doing all of our behind-the-scenes stuff. Because basically it's four or five people a show. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your behind the scenes people and your thing, and so that mm-hmm. multiplies every time you start a new show,
right,
even if
right,
there's some
right.
overlap. So I was having four or five people in my apartment every single day shooting a show. I mean, you know, we produce four shows a week right now, and we've got this written stuff happening. And it was, I mean, I love it, so I didn't mind.
Yeah.
But then we were starting to get to a point where, like, people, the sound engineer for the newscast, she would stick around and just work for the next 5 hours because she, you know, she just wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, okay, now we actually need to get a space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I was talking to Sean and Tina about it, and we don't actually have sponsorships yet on the shows. We've been kind of just winging this for the past 4 years. So we have no income budget right now, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of listeners. We're right around 20,000 listeners a show right now, and we're very pleased with that. Usually around 5,000. Somewhere yeah. around, it's not, I mean, there's millions out there that get millions, you know, but somewhere around 5,000 is when you can start actually attracting sponsors. We just hadn't done it because it all kind of happened so fast.
Sure.
So we're hoping that when we come back in January, this is kind of my job now to kind of have the guts. You know, we've got our lists built. Either we need to get put on another podcast network, like a lot of these
things
do,
sure.
where they give you the sponsorships yeah. for you, or we yep. got to find them ourselves for a while. So we want to turn it into an actual business model come January. We have an income set. When that happens, that's when we were thinking, okay, we'll look for an actual location. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend on Facebook who posted down in Bayview, Milwaukee, mm-hmm. there was an old recording studio. Like the group I'm Not a Pilot recorded their first album there and all these weird things, you know, allegedly, but I believe it. Sure. Bon Iver apparently recorded there. And it kind of seems to be in the right neighborhood, quite sure, frankly, sure, for that sure. kind of situation.
Yeah.
They were renting, it was the weirdest thing. A friend was renting it out just as like a bedroom loft kind of thing. And I was like, wait. I was like, no, that's a recording studio. That's like, and then the way it's laid out, there's actually like a backstage area. So we literally have our YouTube studio. Long story short, we took it. We're renting this space down in Bayview. It's a building. It's an old recording studio. And it has a grand piano in it. So we can do all our silly songs on pianos now and stuff.
Yeah,
we have a whole green screen studio now. It's, can I say this? It's a beautiful, shitty old building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's beautiful.
Classy.
But yep. it creaks and it yeah. and yeah. it's the trim is 6 inches wide on all the doors. You know what I mean?
Now, do you have like the real brick interior, exterior, like on the wall? Or?
So the thing is, yeah, it's an actual old storefront. So the front of the building is one of those classic like drugstore storefronts. Yeah. Then we go in through a side door because that's all kind of sealed up now for weather and stuff like that, permanently sealed. Yeah. But we do have a little bit of a lobby now. And the last thing I need to say about this is when we looked at the space, it was essentially 8 months before we really thought we'd take a space. Tina was really holding me to this. She was like, so Dave, she's like, we don't have income yet. We can't afford this. What are we doing? What are we doing here? And it's an excellent price for this space. It's a lot of space and it's an excellent price. But we all knew that like it was going to work really well for us. So what I ended up doing is there was an apartment available above it. So I moved out of my apartment downtown and I'm incurring the cost for the first floor for now. And then I live in the apartment above. However, the apartment above and this studio space still $400 cheaper than I was paying for a loft downtown in Milwaukee.
Oh.
No, I mean, I love that loft, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was kind of a no-brainer for us.
Yeah. It was just smart just for your own personal use,
it was even,
too.
Even if I just wanted to just goof around down on that first floor. Mm-hmm. So now the plan is, you know, sometime next summer, we're hoping that TPN is literally paying for the space down there and, you know, that kind of a thing. But for now, that's our weird little adventure we're on. It's a very strange, bohemian kind of, we have no money, but we're just making stuff kind of adventure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's really exciting now because now people can, all the producers have keys to the place so they can actually come in, spend their own time there. I'm hoping
and
that
not
this-
not be in your bedroom.
Not be in my bedroom. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that this encourages new shows to get made. I hope that other people can come to me and say, I kind of always wanted to make this show or that show. We really want to do a science one. We want to do maybe a video science show where maybe we're interviewing scientists or something like that. We're not sure what that is yet. That's one that I would personally like to do next.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping this is a little bit of a weird little incubator for shows. I don't know. That's cool. All I got to say. I'm very excited about it. Yeah, that's all I have to
say.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. You got to go after domain.com, Squarespace.
Yep. Those are all on our list. MailChimp is on our list right now.
MailChimp. Audible. Audible gets a lot.
Audible. Yep. They have buttloads of money or maybe not. I don't know. Do you,
it'd probably be good to
contact some of these bigger podcasts with sponsorships or video casts or video shows.
There's a few podcasts out there that I'm
some info.
Facebook friends with, and I've known them for years as they've built their shows. A few people that live in San Francisco right now that have been doing really well. I am, like I say, I'll fully admit as excited as I am about all this, I'm slowly building up the courage to message them and say, what did you do? How did you get your sponsors and stuff? I'm not, you know. Yeah.
You don't need courage. That's the internet, right?
What's that?
You don't need courage on the internet. Yeah.
In courage?
You don't need courage on the internet.
Need courage, got it.
You don't need courage on the internet.
Find a couple teenage trolls and just send them out there.
You still have to enunciate, apparently, with these microphones.
But, words are good.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. That's our whole story right now. That's you know, thanks for having me here to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and if we ever come up with any, you know, any of our clients who might be great, you know, we'll totally push them your way.
Oh, can I say this on the show? Please, can I say this? We are like desperately looking for more. Frankly, it's all volunteers right now. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's a little bit like community theater.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like running a community theater, but everything goes on the internet instead of on a stage. It's a very strange. So like you had kind of, if
more
if,
people watch it, probably.
If five people. Yes, 20,000 people. Wow. we know that to be true. You know, when five people get together and they all say, yes, we will take this time out of our schedule to get together and produce something, you kind of have a certain amount of respect. A little bit like these 48s are like that. You know, we all get together to do these things, and it really creates the bonding. But we are like looking for more people right now. I need another sound engineer. I'm looking for another editor. We need another producer. We have, so I think with this new website, we're going to put like postings of other things we need, but we're really looking for sound engineers right now. Mm-hmm. If anybody's listening, they're interested in the Milwaukee area. And I think technically, we honestly use Google Drive for all of our file sharing, which is hysterical because about 3-4 years ago, Ryan told me that he and I should use Google Drive. And I was like, what? Never! Do you remember that at all?
What was that for the BitLife?
It was for the BitLife show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I shall never use Apple products. I will never use Google Drive. Yeah. Google Drive's amazing. It's brilliant. I love it. I'm in love with it.
And then Apple fell from grace. And
we do all of that syncing there. So. Yeah. It's really great because the sound engineer can work, but it syncs, and then the next time someone can even be at their apartment. So they may not even necessarily have to be in Milwaukee, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But we're looking for two in-house sound engineers.
Listen up, international audience.
We're looking for a video editor and a couple writers. We're looking for another writer for the newscast right now. So if anybody's out there who likes to do, you know, newsy production writing, thank you for letting me be able to say this, but we're desperate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
really excited.
I love what you guys are doing, and we're... You know, we're not necessarily creating a network, but we want to create content. You know,
you've created a company, man. Like, this is awesome. Well, you know what I mean?
You know, and it's kind of like you were describing earlier. You do these things so that you can make a film or do creative things like this. You know, like, we've finally been able to buy all these cameras and all this other stuff that I use professionally. But now it's like, let's have, you know, maybe one of the better sounding, better looking shows. Now we just have to actually be entertaining and have good content. Right. You know, like the hard part. But you know,
we're definitely, and I'm saying this in a positive, not as a contrast, but we're definitely on the other end of the spectrum where we're literally, some of the shows are still being recorded with GarageBand microphones and stuff. But if you level it right, you record it right, you can, you know what I mean? You mostly use Snowball microphones right now.
I use Snowball for a year for my podcast.
We're fine with them.
Now I swapped over to the Blue Yeti.
We imagine we'll upgrade eventually. But I mean, honestly, guys, our lights for the newscast are just like those things you buy at Menards.
Oh, we still have those.
You know what I mean?
The clamp ones with the little clamps on the end.
Eventually. But you know, the thing, what's so great, and you should know, if you know what you're doing in post, you can at least get it to a place where it can look all right. Yep. I think our resolution's a little too low on the newscast. It'd be nice to get a nicer camera in a while. But right now we're getting content out and I'm happy about it.
Well, and I mean, I think you hit it on the head too. You know, like, you have a microphone. You have a separate camera that is not your microphone, that is not your phone.
Right.
You know, you have lights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got them from wherever you could. But that's important. You know, you have three different technologies. They might be the, you know, cheaper ones that you can, you know, get into the
business.
But
if you know how to implement them, you know, you still have the knowledge of how to do a layout. You know what I mean?
Put you ahead of this, you know, whatever. Where'd the phone go?
What's this?
Whatever.
The phone.
What'd you do with your
phone? Put you ahead of this. I mean, and this is still entertaining.
Yeah.
For certain things. But, I agree. You get light years ahead of that.
I agree. So cool. So then, I don't know. How's it going with this show? Pretty good.
It's
been a blast to be on.
It's never gone.
No. This show is going amazing.
Yeah, we have subscribers.
Wait, we're doing that again.
We have subscribers.
Love it. Well, we gotta do now, after our reboot and stuff, let's do some like mashup episodes where you guys come by us, we come by you. Like video things. Yes. So some of these, like, maybe it could be a Let's Play or something.
Hey,
or like,
we'll bring our cameras.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And there's gonna be
our watchers would be like, what happened? Looks like a Jerry Bruckheimer film, and then boom, back down to like our little HD cameras.
And then the troll is gonna be on both the shows separately.
Yes.
or our viewers are going to like watch
YouTube.
Our video.
YouTube.com/trollblade.
That one video is going to come in with this beautiful 4K whatever, and our listeners or our viewers are going to be like, oh, that's what they look like. We've only been watching in like HD.
Oh, we were.
Oh, they changed
something.
This. They changed this.
I was like, it's kind of gross.
We were editing an interview, and I was like, it's kind of gross. You like see pores, and I never really
thought
we'd
be
there.
The camera quality is so like sharp and clean. Right. It's like, ooh.
Well, we should do a bi-monthly collaboration that is 4K.
Special episodes or anything would be fun. Yeah. Having you guys, even if there's a particular episode where we could have you guest on like the podcast or something,
that'd
would be really cool.
Sure. Oh, that'd be fun.
We always find some reason to have someone on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what would be with you guys, but I'm sure something would come up.
Something could come. I think what's been nice is you guys have been able to, I mean, in some ways grow very quickly. Like Backflip has tripled in size in 2 months.
Yeah.
But now that's creating some space for us to do more fun things. And I think that's something you've been really working for. So now I can say, like, I'm in charge of the schedule. So yes.
Yes, indeed.
We can get something scheduled. Julie,
I was so excited. I got an email from Julie, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And you're like, hey, we're starting up a podcast. Yeah. And I was like, absolutely. Anything to get back into Backflip Studios. Yeah.
Julia will make it happen.
I'll make it happen.
Yeah, and it's this weird thing that we're figuring out too, where, you know, Backflip is the company and owns everything. And BitLife is kind of the creative outlet.
Sure.
You know, and we kind of still with those ideas of, you know, bits and, you know, little small things and entertain, you know, that is still a desire, but who knows? It's about getting out and doing it, you know, like getting out with the cameras that we had or with the mics that we, you know, whatever that we had,
you know, we were
and doing it.
You're absolutely right. We were just kind of making fun of the phone videos, and I agree with you completely. But if someone only has a phone and you're still, you know, if you want to make something, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's always the director of photography, you know, like commercial cinematographers are always like, camera is just a tool and I choose the right tool for the job.
Sure. Right.
And they're like, do you love the 4K or the 8K Dragon sensor, the red Dragon sensor? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it's just another tool in my tool belt. Right. And they're, you know, British and douchey. But you know, kind of our generation is whatever you have, you know, is the best tool for the job. You know, do you have an iPhone and is that the only camera you have? Right. That is the best tool for the job right now.
Now, I will say, like, I do appreciate having some film production knowledge, obviously, from school. Like, knowing how to do a lighting setup, knowing how to, even if you're using a Rock Band mic, knowing where to put it correctly and how to level it is still important in, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So go to school.
So there is a little bit of, like, if you still want to make that stuff, though, I do still encourage people go to an art school and learn those kinds of
things.
Well,
you got to learn meet good people.
The principles.
Yeah.
I do think there are some aesthetic principles that are still important.
And you better not be editing on a computer unless you've done it with tape. You know, in the Steinbach.
So, guys, I'm old enough that my first couple years at Columbia, we were cutting and chopping. Legitimately.
We were, too.
You were, too? Yeah.
I didn't go to film school.
Final Cut Pro came out. Final Cut Pro 3 came out, like, when I was, like, a senior in college. It was just happening. Mm-hmm. It was all Avids at Harpo still, and probably still is. But,
right. Software, you know. You can edit with software. You don't need a, you know, giant, like, aircraft carrier size thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to be a whole desk. Yeah. But remember EDL lists and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and now it's great because they keep that for interoperability between programs, like color correction and things like that. You kick out an EDL, kick it over to another program, and it's like you're editing natively, but it's just that old, you know, classic EDL.
I tell you what, though, like, the three biggest things that have just changed the world so much, even in the last couple of years, is specifically Google Drive / Creative Cloud. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Adobe had a few security issues about a year ago, but just that, and it's not even a crazy new technology. We're just putting stuff on a server and getting it back, but just they finally did it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so you can have all these shared files. So you almost have like an internal network, but people don't have to be the same place anymore.
Right.
And especially now, like, I know PC and Mac both have those kind of operating system plugins that you can run so that all the folders just, so you can be saving out of Adobe Premiere straight to a folder that then syncs to Drive. So then everybody else's folder also gets that file within minutes. Mm-hmm. Just awesome. And I think that, like, that's what's really, at least for us at Technophiles, that's what gave us this ability to really start pumping out production.
Right. Yeah, and I'll be fascinated to hear, you know, kind of your guys' development too, you know, as cameras get upgraded and things like that, because I have to turn these cameras down. We have like the Blackmagic 4K, which is really great. I have two right now. And then the 5D Mark II, which is a great DSLR.
Right.
But with those two, this will probably be, you know, this whole production, this hour production will be a couple hundred gigs.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a very good point. Like, so our shows are only like 40 gigs each. Yes. You know, when if you do like a 5-minute video, oh, yeah, this, well, no, I think we can get our fives down to like 20 gigs these days. And it still takes some time to sync. But if everybody runs a desktop or just is responsible with making sure that their laptop is syncing, it's not too much of an issue. But we did have had a few videos where we had to maybe locally share some drives because of that whole sync thing. Because 100 gigs, I mean, that would knock you down for half an afternoon syncing that back and forth.
Yep.
So that is a very good point, Ryan, actually. Maybe we will stick with just our little HD webcam.
Or when you get the, like, I had to turn all these down, basically, because I was like,
oh, turn
I
gave that's like, what you meant by turn down.
Well, I gave him 500 gigs, 4K and love, and we're like, you know what, maybe we won't do that. Maybe we'll do just 100 gigs on that on that one camera.
We might not need a 4K.
Well, I was giving him 4K so he could reframe.
Are you guys thinking of doing, like, unboxing videos or anything like that? Because we're kind of considering that. Video games, products, stuff like
know.
That.
So what we've kind of decided, at least with the speed that we are able to get things out, and now with Julia, we actually can get things out.
Yeah.
Well, and Jeff too, editing, because John and I are slow. I guess you know we weren't producing these things fast, and we weren't editing very fast. Like all of our early BitLife stuff
didn't get,
you know, we didn't do anything with it. But you know, with the speed that we are now, that we actually have, you know, like the speed of smell, like a little bit of movement, I don't know that we would be able to do anything too topical.
Yeah,
you know, I would love to get this show to be once a week, but anything more than that is going to be
where I was going with that. It would be really fun, like if we ever did something like that, to have if anyone could like jump down to Milwaukee and do one or two.
Oh yeah,
of those. It'd be fun to have you guys just on.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah,
I have some. I honestly have some amazing editors. I have to say that Nate Winter is one of the best editors I've ever worked with, because he flips this stuff in like 24 hours. I mean, we shoot a newscast, and it's pretty much the next.
And all volunteers, right?
All volunteers. And everybody is just volunteering the time. It's really just. And you know, it gets tricky when it's volunteers. Sometimes people kind of pick, you kind of have to let that, as a producer, you have to let them kind of tell you how much they want to do. And they kind of do it with their actions.
And
that's perfectly respectable. If their life gets a little too busy or something, you can just kind of tone things.
Right.
You can never get upset about anything like that. But the benefit, really all we have to offer at Technofiles right now, because we are all volunteers right now, is, are you someone who wants to edit more things? Well, we have people making content. Are you someone who wants to get on YouTube more? Well, we have people shooting that. You know, so everybody...
Yeah, you're connecting people together.
Everyone's... It's that little part of their hobby
that
as a whole comes together to something more than a hobby. You know what I mean?
So have you found that challenging? Because I feel like sometimes... And again, with, you know, John and I, we figured out over the years how to work creatively together, and it works really well. But our first ideas are often different. Have you found that bringing, you know, a bunch of people together can be difficult?
So... over the years, I have a little bit, but you just have to be very, it's a very different, you have to be a producer in a very different way, because you can't get mad at anybody. You just have to be always constructive. Now, that doesn't mean baby them. You just always have to say, okay, what's the good part of this situation? How do we adjust these pieces to make a good part of this situation if people aren't agreeing? There are times, everybody, a little bit like community theater, we are very clear about everyone's roles. That might sound like that is we're trying to be too important, but you know, the producer has some say over the director. The director has say over the writer. The writer has say over the act. You know, for every production, everybody goes into these things. We have pre-production meetings. You know, we have monthly production meetings for every single show where we talk about everything that's going on. It used to happen in my living room. Now finally we'll have an office in this new place. And we go over some of the past episodes. Everybody puts their 2 cents in, but as producer, I'll still run the meeting, and I can kind of, I've had to learn over the years to navigate. Because sometimes someone will get annoyed with something. Sometimes it's a logistic thing. Maybe you have a volunteer who just can't get there on time or you know, and you just got to kind of work with it. And maybe there's another better place for them to be if they still want to be involved with the experience. So we've never had any like real breakdowns yet or anything.
Have you ever had different strong creative ideas that you had to work through?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess thank you for asking that because what I was trying to get to in that the previous point was that when there are creative differences, because of this breakdown, it's kind of like the director's show, or this is that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And we'll happily make another if you want to spend 2-3 months putting together like a pilot that we can put in the pipeline for another show, that's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I even said to when we started the video game podcast. So Technofiles, I'm very proud of what Technofiles does. We try to, our focus is always finding scientific and nerdy and technology information and sharing it. Mm-hmm. We don't even pretend to be experts on mm-hmm. it. It's more like, it's a little bit like when Mr. Rogers goes to see the trumpet player. Mr. Rogers doesn't know how to play the trumpet, but he just takes us with him mm-hmm. to go see what the trumpet playing is like.
Right, right.
We very much, everything that's under the TPN brand for me, that's my goal. So we never pretend that we're experts. It's always, hey, look what we found that we right. think is cool. You start to get some expertise after you do this for 4 or 5 years. You just start to become accustomed to all the different companies and you start almost creating relationships. I mean, almost like being a reporter or something, right?
Yeah.
I'm stuttering or I'm getting tongue-tied. So when we did the video game podcast, I had some people come to me and they said, we want to make a video game podcast. And I said, I love it. And we had to have a couple meetings because I had to be very clear about like what is the style of this show. So we do try to, we never talk about this on the show, but we try to keep the show at like a PG-13 or lower mm-hmm. level. You know, when we first started, it was F-bombs and S, you know, and like you thought we were so cool. We were podcasters and we were getting drunk and swearing and, you know, like.
It's like the same with young comedians too. Yeah. You know, like fuck this, fuck that, fucking fuck.
Yeah, it's a crutch.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
Now I have to censor all of that.
About 2 years ago.
Oh.
2 years ago, we realized, I thought to myself, like, what if some teenager or kid is listening to this in his room and we're talking about a rocket that SpaceX is making that learns how to land itself because of a robot in Japan that got made. Like, this is amazing. This kid, like, and what if their parents said, whoa, you can't listen to this because, like, we've dropped some F-bombs.
It's explicit.
My heart would be broken.
Yeah.
We're not a family show, but we're somewhere in that Mythbusters territory. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
it's kind of a Jim Gaffigan thing. He's like,
perhaps.
I'm not a clean comic. But, you know, I just don't drop it, you know, because it's
we
a try crutch.
To, and we have to kind of let our guests know. We just want it to be a non-issue, and here I am making an issue on this show, but it's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
So when we did the video game one, I had to say, like, that's not only mm-hmm. do I want to watch the language on the show, and there are some shits and fuck that slip in. Like, actually, everyone's pretty good with the F-bombs. Sometimes a shit will slip in, but you can do three shits on a PG-13
better
movie.
Better in than out, I always say. Yeah.
And you're still okay, but whatever. That's kind of silliness.
Wrong. That's weird.
But but furthermore, not only was it the tone, I wanted to be very clear. I said, if we do a video game show, I want the main topic. I don't want it to just be, let's spend an hour chumming around about 500 different video games.
Yeah.
There are other podcasts that do that. I even like listening to them.
Sure, sure.
They're great. I said, if we're going to do it, let's keep it in the TPN brand kind of experience. I want it to be somewhat business focused. I want it to be certainly technology focused. So we try to do larger issues. We just did a whole episode about games getting released a little prematurely and the debugging process and like where is that tipping point? That was our most recent episode we just had.
What was that, Halo Master Collection?
Before that, or? Halo Master, Unity got pretty bad.
Assassin's Creed.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we did a Smash Brothers episode, but we didn't necessarily talk about Smash Brothers. We talked about the connectivity and what that means for Nintendo's projections and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We try to have it be a larger topic so that at least the audience can, it's hey, look what we found. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. And not getting too detailed or too nerdy, like Seamus's move with the blah, 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 when you jump through the floor and the blah, blah, blah.
Well, if someone is inclined,
which has a place,
if someone is inclined to express that, they certainly can. But the main channel of the right. shows, of any of the shows, wouldn't be that. And I actually had to say to the producer that was putting that show together, I said, if you want to make this other show, like I said, shows that I like, you're welcome to, but just go do it somewhere else. But that's great. Like, we'll share it.
Sure.
But I want it to be this if it's here. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, so maybe creative differences, sometimes it can go that route. So I think if you just super clear up front, everybody always kind of knows what's going on. And everybody knows that they're going to maybe get a chance if it's worked out properly. I don't know. Maybe there's a few people that are editors right now that wish they could make a show. And I hope if they listen to this right now, they'll come to me mm-hmm. and say, like, now I have this idea. I didn't realize I could say that.
No.
I want to make a show.
His editors. Not okay.
Never mind.
Jeff, you want to make a show at TPN?
Screw you guys, I'm out of here. That's not good.
I'm just joking.
I gotta bring you guys and go to Dave's studio.
I'm going to Technophile.
I rambled there a bit, but I guess thanks for letting me try to express that.
Yeah.
That's great.
We've never had like actual fights yet. No creative difference fights.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like you
but I should say this, but we develop a show for like 3-4 months. If we're going to do a new show, we do 2 or 3 pilots. I mean, the newscast, there's like 5 episodes out there that never even became episode 1.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a really long
development. You have to figure out how to hit your stride. And
so I think a lot of that creative stuff gets worked out there. We don't just hit and then someone goes, whoa. It took us 4 or 5 months to build the newscast alone. And then, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And the next one, like I say, this science show, even if I start working on development on that in January here, it's not, I don't think we're going to see it till summer at best. You know what I mean? And we've got a couple other shows in the pipeline. We've got one called Fetch Quest right now that I'm getting kind of excited about.
What's Fetch Quest?
It involves a character essentially doing a real life fetch quest, but then the people that he's exchanging things with.
What's a real life fetch quest? I don't know. I'm not familiar
with
fetch.
A fetch quest is like in game, in video games. A fetch quest is where an item leads to an item to an item.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
So like perhaps in a Zelda game, okay, you have a door to unlock, you get the key, unlock it. Well, a fetch quest is very popular in Zelda games, and it happens in other games where maybe you get a thing that leads to another thing. You don't really know what it leads to, and then another thing. And then later you talk to a person and says, I need the magic powder, but you don't have magic powder yet. But then you exchange the book for a thing, and then all of a sudden you have magic powder. And after like 10 of these exchanges, you get the key to the door.
Yeah, or it's whatever, like real life.
And you knew the door was there in the first place. So we're toying around with an idea right now where a character goes on a real life fetch quest, but really that's just the driving narrative to force like 10 interviews. So if we do it in Milwaukee, maybe it's like someone who works at the Milwaukee Art Museum, someone who works at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and this. We're still working on it. You're not going to see it anytime soon because we also don't want it to be cheesy. But
so fresh.
That's the driving force to bring this character.
So now does the interviewee, do they know that they have to give them another piece of the puzzle to send them further
like,
on the quest?
So these kinds of questions have been asked in these meetings, and we haven't shot any footage for this yet because we're still kind of scripting some of that stuff. And like, what is that tone? You know what I mean? I could sit here for another hour and talk about it, but I'll refrain for now because I also think we're not going to see that show for a while. I honestly think some of these other shows. We were going to do 6-year-old science, where we get 6-year-olds in and try to get them to teach us quantum physics and stuff like that. We might do something like that.
Now, in a parody way, like a they have no chance, but let's have them talk about it. Or you're getting geniuses.
Well, here's another thing. Like we don't know right now. We think what it would be is maybe you. So maybe we just have them explain it to us, but that could fail. You could get someone in a studio and it could just be no. We still want there to be some content. So maybe now we have to go learn about something and have them. Teach it to us, or maybe it's just exploring. So these are all the things you have to figure out creatively.
Or like the Fine Bros, you know, like grandparents watch, blah, 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 kids watch, blah, blah, blah. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, I get a little addicted to those videos.
Yeah, yeah. But you do Kids Explain Science, where you show them something. A video, like a 10-minute video explaining quantum physics, and then have them explain to somebody else and see
and
what
so,
it's like.
And then,
telephone.
Or another version of that show is where maybe you both learn together. So somewhere in between... Or maybe an expert and a 6-year-old, somewhere in between the expert and the 6-year-old, like the normal person message happens. I'm not sure what that means yet.
Make it a challenge where they're explaining Pokemon or something, you know, or Minecraft, you know, and you have a 12-year-old or something, and then a scientist and some, and then they have to compete. They have to explain the other thing to somebody of the opposite age.
So that's some of the ideas. Now that we have this like video studio, that's kind of the stuff we're thinking about.
Yeah.
I know the video. The Aaron Miller on the Gamescast. He is going to start up his own Twitch show, and then there's a bar down in Milwaukee called 42 Lounge, which is a really fantastic like geek bar, and they stream Twitch live at the bar and stuff. So then like we're going to have a couple live shows that'll stream to them, which is kind of fun. But this is all we just got to get finished moving into this space. But if you're I guess I'm trying to answer like creative process ideas that kind of thing. So I'm super duper crazy excited.
Good.
And a year ago, I wouldn't even have known that this would have been, you know, it was two snowballs. Two snowballs and two guys going, so NASA stopped the shuttle program.
There you go.
Giant avalanche and a Bigfoot.
Turned into an avalanche from snowballs.
So I'm really excited about what you guys are doing here, and thanks for letting me talk about my stuff.
Thanks for coming on the show. Yes. We don't have an ending.
I have a question. Will you come back?
Anytime.
Yes.
Anytime. And so for we'll other reasons. Like, this is great to get to know you guys this way, but I'll come back for any reason.
So we'll see you next episode.
Next episode,
yeah, which so is now coincidentally right after this.
Working title will feature David Geisler every week.
When you do your outros, may I pimp out my information and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Give us your YouTuber, so, Twitter, Tumblr.
Well,
chat,
people can find my fat chat. It's almost gonna be weird to say because I'm so used to saying the actual outro to the show, which I've been saying for 4 years. Let me do it as the outro.
I was going to say, have you actually done it? Because
no,
like
I was trying
didn't.
To undo it and say it like a normal human.
No. Do your outro.
Not like, so
do
usually, well, let me do. Here's the outro. Okay, let's. If this is the Technophiles podcast, we're ending right now here
and
on Working Title.
Yep.
Fantastic, guys. Okay, great. I'm glad we're going to follow up on this. Julia, if people want to find you on Twitter, where can they do that? If they want to find you on the internet.
On the internet, it'd be Jewel Z. Smith.
Fantastic.
At Jewel Z. Smith. That's with a Z.
Wonderful.
On Twitter.
Very exciting. Mr. Ryan Frank, thank you for being here tonight. If people want to find you on the old interwebs, where could they do that?
Hi? Is this
Steam?
Is this,
maybe they can find you on Steam or Twitter, Facebook.
MySpace? I'm on everything.
Excellent.
Look me up.
All right, very good. Are you works on my machine? No, that's Adam. That's Sheehan.
I am work? No. I'm just Ryan Fring. Very good. On everything.
Excellent.
It's pretty boring.
Jeff, thank you for being here. It was really great getting a chance to talk with
thank
you.
Thank you.
If people want to find you online, where can they do that?
Pretty much just search for Random Bell.
Random Bell?
Pretty much at everything.
Excellent. Love it.
It's great.
Fantastic. Well, we love it when people tweet the show at Technophiles Pod or find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching Technophiles Podcast. Of course, you can go to our actual website, technophilespodcast.com, to find links to all the shows and episodes that we post. This has been really fantastic being here on Working Title. If anybody wants to find me, I am David Geisler at Raptor Paint. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, Radio Raheem.
Good night.